Blog Talk Radio.
Oh, today we're going to be reading from Playboy Magazine, a 2009 edition. Raw data. Insignificant stats and facts. With a decade ending this month, the hottest big screen actress of 2001 is Megan Fox, Scarlett Johansson, Catherine Zeta-Jones, Naomi Watts, Charlize Theron, Halle Berry, Jennifer Aniston, Angelina Jolie, Cameron Diaz, Natalie Portman, and Keira Knightley. Price check. Excuse me. $47,000 the cost of a gold penis and larger, encrusted with rubies and 40 diamonds. Custom ordered by a Saudi businessman who claimed that he was allergic to stainless steel. He was said to use the world's most expensive sexual aid. 2007, 63% of college students said they would move back in with their parents after graduation until they could find work. This year it was 69%. Only one in four Oklahoma public high school students can name the first president of the United States. George Washington. 6% of American drivers admit to driving while reading. Oh, boy. $63,500 winning bid on eBay for a meal with Sarah Palin. To enjoy the lifestyle you can afford in Chicago on a salary of $50,000, you'd have to make $100,000 in New York City. According to Psychology Today, 40% of women deliberately provoke jealousy in a partner to get a reading on the strength of their bond. Average football game has only about 12 minutes of actual play time. Greatest Generation. They think it's their reader. 67% of the college students surveyed agree on a generation. Their generation is more self-promoting, narcissistic, overconfident, attention-seeking than previous generations. Newsflash. Odd stat of the month. Men who snore loudly are twice as likely to die early. I don't snore. At least 22 states that ban texting while driving offer some type of service that allows motorists to get information about the traffic tie-ups and road conditions on their emergencies via Twitter. Okay, we're going to go to the advisor. Hold on. I'm doing a digital edition here. I've subscribed to the whole backlog, 62 years of magazines. So don't worry about what I'm going to have content for a while, won't we? Can you tell me how to give a perfect blowjob? I'm enjoying going down on my boyfriend, but his penis is thick and it's hard to fit in my mouth. Any suggestions would be appreciated. Keep in mind the head of your boyfriend's penis, especially the underside, is the most sensitive area. If you don't have to go deep to drive him crazy, rather than worry about the delivering perfection, consider the wise words of one of the world's greatest cocksuckers of all time, Vanessa Del Rio. We posed a question to the porn superstar when she appeared on the Playboy Advisor radio show, heard on Sirius XM 99, with discussions about her 16-pound, $700 autobiography, Vanessa Del Rio, 50 Years of Slightly Slutty Behavior, published by, can't read it. The only thing that separates me from somebody else who doesn't give a good blowjob is I like to do it, she said on the show. That's the key. If you don't like doing it, and if you know you have to practice technique, you're too much into the thought and style. Yeah, it would be good, but there's nothing like a hungry mouth that likes a cock in it. Most guys will agree that having a woman tell her that she loves sucking your cock will give you instant arousal. We're told throughout our lives that erections are ugly, threatening, and indecent. To have a woman embrace that our best buddy, as Vanessa describes, is sometimes all we need. I enjoyed your response to September New Jersey Reader about renting a house to three women who claimed to be college students. He said the women started paying rent late, if at all, but because they were having orgies with him, he decided to let it go. He wanted to know if he could get in legal trouble and whether the sex would make it harder to evict the women if they refused to pay any further rent. As a property manager who's gone through the evictions, I would advise the reader to find a lawyer pronto. I can't imagine three roommates having sex with a landlord unless they plan to eventually withhold their rent and sex. His best to put the house on the market and break the lease when it sells, or pray they move out peacefully. I hope at least he got a video of his encounters. Could he plead insanity as a defense, assuming this is not a fantasy? He certainly could get messy. Prosecutor could charge the reader with solicitation or promotion of prostitution, especially if the women have been paying clients to come onto the property. But regardless of any warnings we offer about potential legal hassles, we doubt he's going to call off the orgies, would you? The reason I'm having a little problem today is my eyes. I'm having a little problem reading, so if you'll have to bear with me. I'm frustrated by my inability to find quality. Nah, I don't want to read that one. It's about cigarette lighters. I always give off a tremendous amount of body heat. In fact, one lover nicknamed me Furnace Woman. I don't sweat or feel overheated. I just have a hot skin. As a result, no one, including my husband, has ever wanted to cuddle with me in bed. He's affectionate with other ways, and our sex life is great, but is there any way I can get him to put his arms around me without cranking the thermostat? The first thing that comes to mind is you have an overactive thyroid, a gland that regulates metabolism. Hyperthyroidism can make you feel excessively hot even when it's room is cold or temperatured. But Jeffrey Garber, author of Harvard Medical School's Overcoming Thyroid Problems, says the fact that you're always experience this and don't want to feel overheated suggests another explanation. Assuming that you don't have any skin disorders or that interfere with the ability to sweat, aren't taking dollar doses of drugs that diminish your sweating, contain niacin. That gets complicated. I don't read all that. When is it okay to hide money from your wife? Here are my wife's recent purchases. Several $500 purses, $2,000 to $10,000 in clothes, which within a year she hands off to the consignment store, receiving 5% of the cost, a $150 wallet every month, a $200 hair salon visit every other month, $300 to $400 monthly for makeup. By contrast, I spend money on food, water, and shelter. Is it appropriate to ask her mother for $50,000? Is a divorce on the way? I shared my money with her for nearly a decade because I've always earned 35% to 500% more. Why don't you? You don't need to hide anything. Simply open a savings account and an investment account in your name and funnel money into it for a rainy day. Next, you have your credit card limits. Hold on. To the next page. Credit card limits lower to something reasonable. Don't get your mother-in-law involved. You have enough problems. Most couples fight about money, but divorce may be the one way. You don't have the means to support her by her shopping frenzies. She She earns how much her own money. She can spend that while you take care of the essentials. Keep in mind that weird psychology is won't work here. In an essay that appeared in Playboy years ago, Lisa Carter revealed that her real reason women shop is not about acquiring, it's about losing. They aren't satisfied with how she is, how we're financially naked and helpless. So your account actually going to your wife is a favor by helping her reach that nadir sooner than she would have been able to on her own. A man wrote in September that his wife was no longer wanted to receive oral sex because she felt it contributed to her recurring yeast infections. My husband is a great lover who enjoys going down on me. So I took steps to head up the problem with probiotic supplements, plus one or two daily servings of plain yogurt with celiac cultures, which should impress you since it tastes like wallpaper paste. I wonder if the woman in her case is perhaps not a fan of oil or something else was going on in the relationship. I wish them both luck, but it sounds as though their husband's going to need it more. The reader and his wife should be aware that infections may not be caused by yeast, but by bacterial vaginosis, which exhibits many of the same symptoms. Bacterial vaginosis, not clear how women get it, but it appears to be that douching or having new sex partner or multiple sex partners increase the risk. The good news is that BV is easily treatable with antibiotics. After suggesting a reader use a dental dam while giving his wife oral sex, you wrote, God willing, she'll keep getting infections and focus her attention elsewhere. You owe every woman reader of your column an apology for the callous disregard of our health. We would never wish a yeast infection on anyone, male or female, but we are believers in the scientific method. And I'm a believer in water, and I need a drink. Hold on. There goes the top. As the late Jim Ed Brown said, pop a top, my friend. I've been happily married for 9 years. My wife and I have no secrets. I would do anything for her. Recently, she told me that a former lover, whom she hadn't seen in 12 years, had moved into town with his wife and children. She called and they had lunch. Shortly after that, she asked me if we could take him as a sex buddy. I reluctantly agreed, thinking it would be a short-term fling and I could handle it. She says it's not like picking up a stranger since she has a sexual past with him. She also says all she wants is some excitement and affirmation she's still good in bed. Although I'm no slouch in a sack, she's adamant that the relationship is strictly for sex, and neither of them wants to harm their marriages. They meet every other week. I'm getting more jealous by the day. I know if I tell her to stop, she'll be disappointed and push the limits of our trust since she really likes the guy. She told me 3 times she's going to stop seeing him. What's going on? Your wife doesn't want to harm her marriage. Too late. You gave her permission to fool around but you can withdraw that permission any time. There are rules to be agreed to. Make it clear that you no longer want her to see him. Emphasize that you misjudged how you would feel about the arrangement and you're hurting. Stand up for your relationship, and it may give her the wherewithal she needs to put an end to it. If she continues without your okay, the affair becomes adulterous, and that's a larger problem. Based on the letters we receive, it's typical for mutual agreements that allow for flings to quickly collapse when only one partner is enjoying his or her freedom. Whenever I have a herpes outbreak, I find myself surfing the internet for information about the new treatments. I know there's no cure, but $300 seems a reasonable price for relief, provided it works. Do any herbal or other treatments help? It's hard to say, then that's the problem. A few years ago, a team of scientists evaluated research done on a common alternative treatments for a report published in a Journal of International Herpes Management Forum. The scientists could not find a definitive evidence that showed any of his could alleviate symptoms. Why rely on herbal prescription antibiotics to get the job done? In fact, you can take a pill once or twice a day and reduce the risk of outbreaks, transmitting it to virus to partners. Some people worry about aggressive therapy will make them less effective, but there's no evidence to that. If you're searching for reliable information about herpes and other sexually transmitted diseases, visit the American Social Health Association. Let's see. Trying to get to a good one. Do you have any suggestions for a doctor who wants to ask out a female patient whose path doesn't cross with his outside the exam room? I'm hoping to do this in an ethical, non-creepy manner. The only action we see is for you to confess your attraction, explain you can't maintain a professional distance as a result, and refer to another doctor. Do this over the phone rather than during an examination. If your patient is interested in seeing you as a former patient, she'll let you know. Why are the pockets on men's suits always sewn shut when purchased new? It's done for two reasons. First, it keeps them from snagging on anything when they're making their way from the manufacturer to the retailer. Second, the most important, the stitches help the suit hold its shape. You should carefully snip the vest pocket open with a seam ripper and nail clipper for pocket squares. And always take that stitching buttonholes, and particularly on the lapels. There's no need to open the lower pockets unless you're one of those diehard prepsters who's actually using them and carry stuff you've been wearing suits since you were four. I have a friend who says he's gay, but he won't stop staring at my boobs. Are they just that distracting, or is he a wolf in sheep's clothing? Either way, you must have a terrific breast. Okay, let's see. Where's those jokes? I think it was page 142. Oh, there it is. Time for some party jokes. Oh, no, that's not jokes. Wait a minute, folks. Thought I had the jokes while ago. Well, that's the end of it. No, where is that? Where did they hide the party jokes? Party jokes. This is. Oh, that's not right. Hard to look on this digital sometimes. We can read this, I guess. Sex in Cinema, 2009. Whatever happened to sex in cinema? The simple answer is it moved to a more welcome home on cable, especially when you consider that 2009's biggest box office attractions include the chaste and shiny Transformers Revenge of the Fallen, Harry Potter, The Half-Blood Prince, Star Trek, and Up. While mainstream Hollywood's movie makers persist in wooing pre-adolescents and grown-ups stuck in the various stages of arrested development, those of us who search for edgier, more risque adult entertainment are happy to stay home and watch Showtime and HBO, such as True Blood, Californication, Hung, and Dexter. Luckily, through the sexual collisions between consenting adults haven't been completely banished from the multiplex. Not only do you see foreign language films hold up their own on the erotic bargain, but so do some interesting American movies such as Two Lovers, starring independent thinkers Joaquin Phoenix and Gwyneth Paltrow, and a raunchy, sexy screen version of Chuck Palahniuk's Choke, starring Sam Rockwell. And what about Jessica Biel's steamy pole dance in Powder Blue? As long as there are adventurous movie stars and bold directors, eroticism will not be banished entirely from to the margins. Besides, we'll always have cable. Hot Number. Ferociously sexy Penelope Cruz flies high and wild in the stylish musical Nine. But with Cruz swinging half-naked from a trapeze, no one will rate her less than a 10. Getting a rise in horror comedy Jennifer's Body, a lesbian life romp between demonically possessed Megan Fox and Amanda Seyfried, gets us so heated they levitate. Why so serious? Beautiful and doomed university student Penelope Cruz invites her professor Ben Kingsley to take a bedroom exam well worth boning up for, an elegy. Good Vibrations, the unrated DVD version of the merrily scatological Van Wilder freshman year bottom, features one of the hero's hotties choosing from a stash of his dildos. A View to a Kill. Juliana Giles' breasts steal the show in a Blu-ray version of Friday the 13th Killer Cut, which has more sex and skin than Wimpy's theatrical release. Okay. We got that page. On to the next one, okay. Powder Power. Jessica Biel, as a coke-addicted L.A. mother, forced to strip for a pay for medical care for her ailing kids is the best thing about Powder Blue. Blue Man Group. Billy Crudup goes through an accidental atomization process in Watchmen, emerging as a muscled up and well endowed Dr. Manhattan. Boys Town. Adrian Grenier and the boy men of an entourage complete the fifth season and hook up with women who are as wonderfully shallow as they are. Queen for a Day. Natalie Dormer's Anne Boleyn loses her head to Jonathan Rhys Meyers, Henry VIII, and the Tudors. Complete second season on DVD. Love Bites. In the bold HBO series True Blood below, the much talented and talked about body melding sex scenes between real life lovers Anna Paquin and Stephen Moyer show that cable regularly goes where movies won't dare. Yes, we're talking about you, Twilight. Dish Best Served Hot. And the Australian thriller Revenge above, Irina Potapenko's lavish physical charms and acting skill as a debt-ridden Ukrainian prostitute helped the movie snag an Oscar nomination as Best Foreign Language Film of the Year. Cat and Mouse. This serpentine plot twist of duplicity left limited screen time for the sexual tension between Julia Roberts and Clive Owen. Maybe the movie would have been a bigger hit if it featured more Roberts-Owen's sizzle. Forced Entry, the shocking and provocative Los Bastardos. Two undocumented day workers will hold a crack-smoking suburban mother and wife and mother hostage. Ghost of a Chance. Even sex is otherworldly in Shadows, a Macedonian horror thriller that introduced essentially compelling musician-turned-actress Vesna Stanishevska to the screen. Killer Sex, Dexter, the complete third season, offers a ringside seat from which to observe sexual hang-ups of TV's wittiest, most compelling serial killer. Higher Education. In The Reader, Kate Winslet embarks on a sensual affair with the teenager David Cross, insisting that he must read great literary works to her during sex. Antichrist, right from director Lars von Trier, freaked out audiences with scenes of William Dafoe and Charlotte Gainsborough screwing on a pile of corpses. Whoa, that's pretty far out there, ain't it, folks? All About Eve, slutty sexual Eva Mendez is all business as a black-booted hooker, junkie girlfriend to Nicolas Cage's painkiller addicted cop in her. Cop and director Werner Herzog's edgy but bad lieutenant Port of Call in New Orleans. Choke on This, Choke from Chuck Palahniuk's novel, features a raucous performance from Sam Rockwell as well as sex-addicted con man who trolls for his kind of women who bring sex toys at Sexaholic Anonymous meetings. Rear Window. Cynthia Nixon's sweaty, candlelit lovemaking to old flame David Eigenberg helps justify the word sex in the title of hugely popular Sex in the City, the movie. Is it any surprise it's a transplant from cable? Well, I guess that's our show for today. I hope you enjoyed learning a little bit about everything I read. Sorry for some of the stumbles and fumbles, but you have a little eye problem right now. So, thanks for listening. See you next time. Good night, good day, wherever you are. Bye.